Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for Innovation, episode 27. My name is Adam Curtis. Today, joined by Christine Fox, Apprentice Program Manager at Cadillac. Christine, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing pretty well. Still digesting Thanksgiving a little bit, but getting through that. Hopefully you had a happy holiday.
I did. Thank you. Yeah.
Today, we're talking about one of the foundational elements of apprenticeships, but one that I think is so foundational, oftentimes it's overlooked. We're talking about this idea of coaching. Where does it fit into an apprenticeship? Is it so foundational to the idea that coaching an apprenticeship is really synonymous, or it's really the same thing? We'll hope to get through a couple of those ideas and then also to explore a little bit deeper into how Cadillac does this and how Cadillac makes coaching in apprenticeships really a lightweight or almost invisible part of the client engagement. So we'll just start off with that basic question, that coaching, where does it fit into an apprenticeships, and is it the foundation for anything that an apprentice does throughout their time in the apprenticeship?
Yeah, I'll start off by saying it resoundingly yes. Coaching is absolutely pivotal in the ability for us to be able to support our apprentices. So like, if you think about coaching in the athletic world, you've got that relationship between someone who has played the game before, and they've also, you know, made some mistakes before. And so you're not managing that person per se, you're actually bringing them to an opportunity to be their best self. So you're giving them feedback, you're giving them some, especially in the moment, that's the best when you can catch them doing something really good or doing something that needs to have improvement. The coaching is also one in which, you know, it's safe to fail or make a mistake. You know, as a person who is working with someone like that, these teachable moments are very, very important for them to be able to grow and also learn to communicate. So I would say that apprenticeship and coaching is really just this tight connection that you have to have. You can have an apprenticeship without coaching, but I don't think you'll have anywhere near the success that we've been able to experience here.
I love that analogy of coaching, because it's one that people are so familiar with, and they put coaches in the athletic world up on the pedestal. Your Phil Jacksons, your Bill Belichicks, you know, those sorts of Bear Bryants, those sorts of people are always lauded for their ability to coach in the moment, long-term strategic planning, and grow talent, even like a Michael Jordan, who already was so spectacular, but to get them to the next level. In business, a lot of times it's almost poo-pooed as a bit of like, we have to coach this person up, rather than seeing that as an opportunity to take someone who is, you know, an A player and make them an A-plus player, or to make sure someone who is a B player is still thriving at that level and incrementally moving them into a better position within the company so they can provide more value. And then, you know, who knows, maybe turn around and become a coach themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think you've got to have some investment in there. You've got to really care about, you know, seeing somebody on their journey. And I would say, you know, getting from good to great, there's a lot of fun in that too. And from my perspective, what I get to do in my role is I'm meeting people where they're at. So I may have at any time more than 30 people that I am working with or coaching. Each one has a very different personality. And just as you mentioned, you know, before, I think a coach has to see, all right, this person doesn't need this kind of stuff. I'm not going to cookie cut and just give them the same exact advice, or we talk about the same things. It's kind of like, you really got to understand where their strengths are and where are the areas that they really want to improve. All that said, just like a really good player out there, an athlete, they have to have drive and they have to have desire and they have to want this. And so that's where I think the analogy comes in really close to what we're doing here, because that box is checked. I'm working with people that have, you know, that drive, that grit, that desire. They want to be in this business because they see it as their long-term future. And they see it as a way that they're going to be able to prove themselves out there in doing that.
And as a good coach, you know, this is a person who responds to a carrot versus a stick versus some other sort of analogy or a way in which they can be motivated. It differs from person to person. It could differ from week to week, but the goal is always the same. How do we mold and advance a person to be better in their role and to grow in time into future opportunities.
Exactly, yeah. We've
used coaching, I think, again, in the sports analogy, people understand a little bit about what that means, either X's and O's, or as we talked about, the motivational sort of interpersonal reaction. When we talk about it in an apprenticeship setting, in a software development setting, in a digital media setting, in a sales setting like this, what are we talking about? Like what is involved in the very broad term coaching? What do you do to coach somebody?
What do I do? Yeah. Well, it's first of all, setting that relationship, you know, establishing that trust there. And as I said, you know, feedback is very, very important. Our folks, when they go through our training program, they get introduced to giving and receiving feedback. It's a module that they go through. And it's also just the process that they are living with. So right away, I'm already getting people who are used to hearing and wanting, how am I doing? How can I get better? So that already sets me up in a really good place, because I've got people who are used to that and who are wanting that. And so my role is really to be able to understand, you know, a little bit more about them. Where are their strengths? You know, do they need to work on some things a little bit more? And customizing, what does that coaching session look like based on that? And it's, you know, this is all done, I would consider, behind the scenes. So when we've got employees that are going out there on the client, they're already ready to hit the ground and produce and get results across the line a lot quicker, because they've got a lot more self-awareness. And they are, you know, again, as I'm going to keep probably this theme, the drive, the grit, the ability to want to be able to get in there and solve problems quickly. The also thing, they know how to ask good questions. And that's one of the things that I think sets them apart, because they'll be in a, you know, a group setting, and there'll be that person that raises their hand and says, have we thought about this? Or I have a question about that. Nobody else knows that answer. They were afraid to ask. And the way that they ask those questions also gives a lot more credibility to, you know, their preparedness for being ready to go.
Is a term to use there, and this might sound dumb, but like coaching up, like you would manage up, does the apprentice have to have, again, the self-awareness to ask for help or to say, hey, Christine, you told me this last week. Like, I didn't quite get it. Is there another way that you can explain it? Or, hey, you said this. I went out and did my own research. I think maybe this is a better way to do that. Like, how important is that part of the coaching aspect?
I think it's really important, because I want people who can think also. And like you just said, you know, what if I said, I think this should, why don't you try this? And they go back and they say, tried it and wasn't quite exactly what I wanted. I'm much happier, you know, taking that information and saying, you know what? Sometimes you're going to get in a situation like this. How would you do it differently? So again, I go back to these teachable moments and things like that. But yeah.
You also mentioned, and I think this is an important factor too, that you are coaching apprentices who are sitting in multiple client organizations, sitting in multiple employers, many different companies, each of which has their own sort of corporate environment, corporate culture, expectations for how an apprentice, an employee should behave, act, contribute on the job. How do you incorporate those individual employer needs or cultures into then how you are coaching up an apprentice to succeed, not just in general, but at that specific organization or on that specific team?
That's a really good question. It actually starts with the beginning of that opportunity. So let's say, for example, we get an opportunity for someone to be working at client X, and maybe they're going to have a formal interview, or maybe it's just a meet and greet. One of the first things that we do is research the company, you know, find out, what are you getting into? Look not only at their corporate website, but go and look at their social media. Find out a little bit more about what they do in the community. Find ways that you feel like you can connect to them. So that's number one, is having the apprentice feel a sense of ownership about where they're going to be going. And then from us, from the Catalyte side, and a lot of this work is done by the time, you know, we're getting these apprentices presented, but, you know, our account managers really understanding, you know, what's that relationship going to be like? What are their expectations? Do they need things from us, the Catalyte side? Do they want to completely hands-off on some things? You know, whatever the case may be, we're going to be fluid enough that we can meet and exceed those expectations of what the client wants. But it's really just being understanding what it is that is going to make the engagement successful, and also pivoting. And that's the thing that, you know, not only do we have our apprentices who are really good at giving and receiving feedback, so are we. If we need to make some adjustments, or if we've got like a situation where we have some clients that they need to be in the office a couple of days a week, if we need to step that up, if we need to pull it back, whatever the case may be, to make it so that the client is getting what they are paying for, basically.
What's the percentage breakdown of, you think, clients that like to be super involved in the coaching process, or maybe giving you, you know, here's the rubric on which you need to, you know, quote unquote, judge or assess this apprentice? And how much of them are like, hey, as long as the person is excelling in their role and we're seeing value on a day-to-day basis from our internal management, then however you are coaching them up is working. So just continue the good job.
That's most of our clients. To be honest, they put a lot of trust in knowing that what they're getting is they're getting the good quality. And if there's something that starts to go a little bit south, they'll use their communication channels and we'll work and coach that. But for the most part, I would say our clients are entrusting that whatever magic is happening behind the scenes, it's working. I have had a couple of clients that there is a very, you know, routine check-ins that are, you know, it's a little more intimate. We've got the direct managers of the apprentices on there. And so those are really fun because, you know, we're now to like month 10 of them in the engagement and the growth that we're able to talk about each time. Or there may be something that, you know, I'll say, you know, I'm working with this person on this. Have you seen any improvement? And if the answer is no, then I'm like, I got to step this up a little bit. And then when we meet again, and if they're saying, all right, something's working, we're getting this, and I'm seeing a little bit more out of it. So, you know, it runs the gamut. We can have very hands-on opportunities, and we can have ones that it's just, you know, I've never met the client side, the client-facing side of anybody in some of the situations. It's just more of a matter of everything is going well, it's going well.
It's almost, again, the coach, I guess with a few of those notable sports exceptions, if they are doing their job correctly, it's almost invisible, the value that they are providing to their players or to their team. So in this case, if our apprentices are performing well on the job, then the coaching just sort of fades into the background. You have some sense that it's there, but because there's no hiccups, then we don't have to worry about what is working or not working, quote unquote, behind the scenes.
Exactly. And you know, when I think about it, I don't know how many of our clients know that they have this much coaching that goes on, which is fine.
Getting to some of the very specifics, when we say coaching, are we coaching, you know, how to code in Python for someone who came out and did not know that from the development portion of the apprenticeship? Are we coaching how to set up Zoom calls, which is, we tried to set this one up, can sometimes be confusing if you're used to using Microsoft Teams. Like, what is the actual either skills, processes, you know, career arc that we are imparting here when we are coaching apprentices?
Mm-hmm. It's everything. I'm not going to be the one that's going to give the technical support there. That's where there's other experts around. But we, anything. I mean, it could be you're going on your interview. Do you have a collared shirt that you can put on? No hoodies, you know, things, very, very basic things to help people with. It's also, again, like when you need to be doing your demo, and they all get trained very well in doing demos, but even reminding of the certain things that they learned in their training, if they haven't done a demo in a while, what does that look like? We're also here for, you know, do a dry run with me. You know, let me be that product owner. Let me ask those tough questions. So we put them in, you know, different scenarios. So yeah, coaching can look like that. Coaching can also look like, as you said, you know, how do you set up a Zoom call? Make sure that you've got everything, you know, helping them think through before you go and you do your presentation. Is everything working? Is everything going as planned? What's your backup plan? Do you have screenshots of your...
See, now you're making me nervous with all this. I'm like, shoot, is my microphone now in the shot? How's my front lighting going?
I know. There's a lot of pressure. There is definitely a lot of pressure. But it's also, you know, it's helping someone think, because now we're like 100% on screen with each other. So where I used to be able to wander around the office and talk to some people or look at some different things, a lot of it is just from what I'm seeing right in front of me. And so trying to make sure that I'm anticipating with others some things that they may not think about, or that, you know, again, that laundry in the back of your room, you got to have you got to have some kind of screensaver on, because we don't really want to see your dirty laundry. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. Absolutely. So we talked about what this sort of looks like from the employer side. The answer is sort of, it depends on how much the employer wants to be involved with. They can be, you know, more involved on a you know, weekly, bi-monthly, quarterly basis, or if things are working, then they can be hands-off and let you and others at Catalyte do the coaching. From the apprentice side, like, what is their involvement in this? And then what are your expectations, or the company's expectations, on what they need to bring to these coaching sessions, or what they need to put in to get the most out of the coaching?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I do bi-weekly. So I'm meeting with a person every other week. It's their meeting. They come to me with what do they need to talk about. It's typically, especially if I haven't seen them, they're client facing and I don't get opportunities, you know, catch up. How are you doing? What's going on? How are you really doing? You know, if I detect something that might need a little bit more exploration. But yes, my expectation is that, first of all, you know, what are you working on? How's that going? Where are you in the sprint? You know, I want them to be able to tell me what they're doing. They all know I'm not technical. So if they want to get down to the nitty gritty, then they know that I'm going to poke at that and say, well, can you explain that in a little bit different way, or use an analogy to help me understand? Because that's another thing I want to do, is make sure they're not going to always have technical people that they talk to. So it's getting used to, how do I talk to a product owner who doesn't really care about how that widget's going to work? They want to know what are they going to get here?
Exactly. So, and you're smart enough to, technical enough to, like, as you said, poke holes in it so that they can't just come and BS you on what they're doing. You have to be like, actually back it up and showcase what it is, because they could be, as you said, going into situations, doing a demo where the person might have an interest in poking holes in it or trying to tear down work. Maybe it wasn't their project, they inherited it, so they have to stand up and really you know, stand up for their work and for, you know, what their team has done. And we delivered what we said we'd deliver. Nope, what you are saying here was not in the SOW for the project or for this sprint.
Exactly. So I also want to know, you know, what challenges are they facing and how can I help them? I've also, you know, when we're certain things that are happening within Catalyte's organization, because they're also divided between, you know, they have me here, but they also are very client facing. So that's where their laptops are on all day and things like that. So, hey, did you know we have an all company call? Are you able to make that? Do you have any questions from that? You know, I want to keep them very engaged in what they're doing here at Catalyte too. When we do, for example, open enrollment for insurance, I'm checking, do you have insurance? Are you doing your, you know, oh, I didn't know, you know. So it's also making sure that they're taking care of themselves in those respects too. I'm also probing to see, does your client want you to upskill in any way? Is there some way that we can use some of our training budget to get you doing a certification or things like that? So these are half hour sessions that there are times like, oh my gosh, we got to stop. I got to jump to the next one. So I feel like for me, it's just a lot of fun just to check in and see how people are doing.
And is the ultimate outcome, or how we track this, the fact that we are getting, again, good client feedback, the apprentice is part of a team that's producing good sort of quarterly QBRs or other things like that? Or are there specific metrics that you are tracking on either a client or a person by person basis to you know, sort of do the lines on the side of the closet to measure their growth over time?
I love it. Yes. So we definitely have some different ways of feedback loops. So, you know, ideally, it's like if we can get something directly from the client, that's good. I mentioned earlier, we have something that we they learn in the training cycle, the 360 feedback. So we'll sometimes do that with other team members. You know, how are things going? We also track based on, you know, again, are they do they need to get a certification? How quickly did they get that? Did they meet those expectations? We're also looking at what other growth opportunities that they have, measuring things like that. I do quarterly feedback with my, that's a little bit more formal. They all get their annual reviews and things like that. So that's pretty much, yeah, the things that we're tracking. We have had, you know, there's some clients that there are some metrics that we need to connect on, and we do that. But for the most part, a lot of it is really just individually with the apprentice.
Yeah, and in, you know, working with apprentices, as I have a lot of times, they are very humble. I ask them, like, where do you see yourself going? Do you want to specialize in something? Like, oh, I'm just trying to be good at everything right now. But I'm assuming sort of you on those calls can, again, poke a little bit at that and say, like, hey, you just spent 6 months on this back end project and it kind of seemed a little grumpy on some of these things. And you just spent 2 months on this front end one and you like light up every day. So maybe there are some things that we can get you into there because you're good at both, but this is where your passion lies. Let's figure out how to get you more involved in projects like that. Or here's some certs you can use to make sure that you are more involved with projects like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's one other one that I just occurred to me. We do a weekly demos. So this is for people that are working on a pet project, a side project, or something that they might be able to share that isn't confidential, you know, to a client. So that's another way of really just, again, as you mentioned, we can see where their face lights up. Somebody who's just going, well, you know, I was really struggling with how to keep track of some of my finances. I didn't like any of the apps that were out there. I created this one. Or, you know, I needed to up my workout stuff. I created this app and here's what I did. And the engagement on those calls from people is just so much fun. So that's another way that I think we're measuring, you know, how are people growing? How are they doing things outside of even what their job requirements are?
I'm going to get you out of here on this last question. It is a long and important one, so it's becoming last, but it's not least important. What are the ultimate benefits, would you say, of coaching to employers and to the apprentices themselves?
Yeah. The ultimate benefits for the employer really is that you're going to get somebody who is ready to hit the ground running pretty much on day one. And that is because they've got a lot of the basics, the cores, the ability to ask really good questions, the ability to think, the ability to be critical about things. So they are ready to go. To contribute to that project and be there. It's also while they're on that project, the client may not necessarily know this, but there's a lot of, you know, coaching on the side that's helping them to continue to grow and to continue to develop and to continue to have just that positive attitude about what they're doing there. So I think for the benefit overall for a client is that they're going to have somebody, unlike maybe someone they've recruited through some other traditional programs, that they've got a more of a support structure that's behind the scenes that's just built into the engagement.
All right, I lied. One more question.
Okay.
We've talked about, you know, the analogy between coaching as you do and sports coaching. If you had to be a sports coach, who do you think your coaching style is most like?
Ah, that is a good question. Oh gosh, this I don't know, Adam.
I'm gonna throw a name out there and I'm gonna sort of give the
Okay.
reason why. I think it's more of a Phil Jackson. It's a little bit of a sit back, a little bit philosophical, a little bit, all right, you all do your thing. And then when I see something breaking down, I'm going to just put up the little triangle offense from the bench and remind you of what you're here to do.
You know what? I would say yes, and I think there's also times where I might just take it from the referee and take that little yellow flag and throw that down there and go, wait, 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 wait. We need to have a little conversation about something before it gets a little bit wonky. But yes, overall, I would say that that's a lot about the coaching style that I would have.
95% Phil Jackson, 5% Bobby Knight. Got the
Okay.
little bit of the attitude in there.
Okay, yeah, I would say that too. And I think I get to do that with them. And yeah.
Christine Fox, Apprentice Program Manager at Catalyte. Thank you so much for the conversation today on the importance of coaching in apprenticeships.
Thanks, Adam.